Good morning, Spanish River. So good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. 2019 is almost coming to an end. I hope you had a great Merry Christmas with your family and friends. We had a great Christmas Eve service. So I'm glad you came out and celebrated the holidays with us. We always end the year with a family service. And so that means is we have the privilege of having our little ones in the worship center with us this morning. So if you hear some cries or some yelps, that's not a baby crying. They're just amening my sermon. So I'm going to take that as encouragement. But on a serious note, if you're a parent here, I just want to say thank you so much for coming out to worship this morning. You could have stayed home. It would have been easier to watch online. But you value coming and gathering together with believers. And I know as a parent, you want to pass that faith, the faith that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ, to your child. And you know that comes not only by teaching them the word, but modeling in that. And so coming together, making worship a priority in your family is a value that you have. And so I want to say thank you. So just take a deep breath, parents. All right, this is a stress-free zone. If your little one wants to express themselves, that's the Holy Spirit working and moving in and through them. So just be at ease. I have three kids of my own, so believe me, I love hearing that. The baby cries are a reminder to us that God is not done with us yet. Right? But that faith, the faith that was entrusted to us from the prophets down the line from our parents, the faith that we believe is being passed on to the children of our church. And so before I start my sermon, I just want to say thank you so much for all our church family that volunteers weekly throughout the year in SRC Kids. And I'd like to take a moment. I'd like us to take a moment to recognize them and thank them. So if you have served in SRC Kids this year, I'm going to ask that you stand. And we want to say thank you with a hand clap. Let's thank all our volunteers this morning. Please stand. Thank you, guys. You guys are standing on your kingdom platform. You know, we believe that God has called us and created us on purpose for a purpose. And so everyone who stood up said, the Lord has called me to witness and serve the children in my community. And so I'm going to organize my life. I'm going to prioritize my life where I have margin and space to give back. Where as freely as we received is as freely as we give. And so on a weekly basis, it takes about 250 volunteers to oversee all our children's ministry. Did you know that? And so they would love for you to join the team. So if you do not have a kingdom platform, if you don't know, you know, if you need a place to use your gifts, children's ministry, SRC Kids is a great ministry to be a part of. You can go to our website if you want to learn more about serving. Go to SpanishRiver.com/serve. And there's plenty of places for you to serve in our children's ministry. You can hold little ones, hold infants. You can take care of the toddlers. You can teach in large group. You can teach in small group. You can just stand by the door and greet families, and especially new families that come. SRC Kids is a great ministry to be a part of, and you might want to consider that for your 2020 resolution. But as we consider this time of year, as we finish celebrating Christmas and having family come in and stay in our home and feeding the masses and opening up the gifts, and as we take a little breath of fresh air and we relax a little before 2020 comes, this in our culture, the rhythm at this point in time is to pause, is to maybe reflect and think back on 2019. Think about all the things that God has been able to do in your life. Maybe you also use this time, this week, going into the new year, to look forward. And you start thinking, Lord, how can I improve my life? As I look at my health, you know, how can I improve my health in the next year? How can I improve my wealth? How can I deepen my relationship with God? How can I develop as a person? And so as we start asking these questions, right, we start to make some resolutions. We said, if I do this in 2020, my life will improve. But as you guys know full well, you don't need Forbes magazines to tell you, but I'm going to tell you anyway. You know the stats of what it looks like for us culturally, people who make resolutions, people who resolve to say, I'm going to do this in the year to come. You know what those stats look like? It doesn't look good, right? After just 30 days, only 25% of people are still in place to fulfill their resolution. That means 75 of us, by the end of January, has just kind of like, forget it, I'm done. I tried, it's not going to happen for me in 2020. Do you know that it gets worse as you extrapolate the months? As you go all the way to December the following year, only 8% of us actually follow through and carry out and fulfill our resolutions. So what does that mean for the 92% of us that make resolutions, that make decisions to change the course of our life? Where does that leave us? Are we just left to wade in the lazy river of life? Is that our existence? Or do we hold on to a truth that God is sanctifying us, renewing us, restoring us, shaping us, equipping us for something better that he has for us? Well, if that's you, I want to speak to you this morning. If you maybe you're here this morning and you look back at 2019 with some regret, or maybe you started out 2019 with a plan and a passion to see it through, but after a few months, we just kind of lost that motivation and you went back to business as usual. If that's you this morning, I want to speak to you. This sermon is for you. But maybe in 2019, you just lost your way. You made some terrible decisions in your personal life, in your business life, and you just kind of just dragging yourself by all your strength and might into 2020. If you've lost your way and you need a compass to guide you, then this sermon is for you. And thinking about this, you know, it says that humor is the best medicine, right? We can look at resolutions that we can look back past years, and we look at resolutions that we don't fulfill, and we kind of feel bad about it, but we start to apply some humor, and so that's the case in our culture. And I did some kind of digging around. I found out that a certain hashtag on social media starts to trend within the first 2 weeks of January. And that hashtag is resolution fail. And so I grabbed some from the internet and just kind of to ease back a little bit. I know we kind of got serious and heavy there for a moment. We'll get back there. But just to bring some levity, let's look at some hashtag fails that I've saw online. This came from one guy who wrote, "My resolution was to read more, so I put subtitles on my TV. Hashtag resolution fail." Now, if that's you, you're probably on your 375th chapter of Netflix. But I think we can do better. Let's see the second one. "My hashtag resolution fail was not to do anything stupid. And 4 days later, I got stuck in a baby swing and had to call the fire department to get me out. Hashtag resolution fail." How about this last one here? "Got ready for the gym, packed my gear, and went for a burger instead. Hashtag resolution fail." What I love about this tweet is the emojis. Burger is greater than exercise. But that's us, isn't it? We have great intentions, but what we're weak in is our follow-through. So I want to talk to you about how you can live. What does Jesus have to say about you living your best life? Let us open up the Word of God to John 15. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to open and read along with me. I'm going to read the first five verses from the Gospel of John, the 15th chapter. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branches cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Thus ends the reading of God's word. Would you pray with me? Ask the Lord's blessing upon us. Lord, we just ask and come before you this morning, asking, Holy Spirit, that you be our teacher and preacher, that you speak truth to our souls, even difficult truths, truths that challenge us, even truths that provoke a response. Because our desire, Lord, is to fulfill the will that you had given to us. And so we ask that you would encourage us and show us the beauty of the gospel yet again as we bring this year to a close. In Jesus' name we pray. And God's people say, amen. Amen. So what is the best life? Jesus answered it. It's a fruitful life. If you want to live your best life in 2020, Jesus' response to you is to seek to bear much fruit in the year to come. But then he says, the only way that we can have a fruitful life is by abiding. So how can we live a fruitful life? One that brings joy to the soul and goodness to the world. Jesus tells us it's not found in fulfilled resolutions or accomplished goals, but simply in abiding. If we remain connected with God, Jesus promises us that the inevitable result will be a fruitful life. And so to frame this idea for us this morning, I have three questions that we're going to seek to answer. First is, what are we? Second, whose are we? And then lastly, what are we called to do? Let's look at that first question. What are we? Jesus answers this question very clearly, yet poetically, by giving us an image, an idea, a picture. He says to his disciples, I am the vine and you are the branches. Now, Jesus is the master teacher. Of all teachers of any age, in any religion, Jesus is the most profound thinker and teacher that has ever lived. Now, one of his tools was to embrace imagery that was common to people of his day, and then through that common, accessible image, provide and offer a thought-provoking, life-changing truth that leads you with only two responses. I believe or I don't believe. There is no middle ground. And that is what Jesus does here when he gives us these verses, these five verses in the Gospel of John. He gives the picture of a vine. Now, if you were in first century Jerusalem and you were here with Jesus hearing the preaching, the first time he shared these words, you would be with him, most likely, most commentators believe, on the steps of the temple. This is Herod's temple. And Jesus taught many times on the steps of this temple and all around the temple. We have a picture, an artist's rendering of what this temple looked like. This building was about 105 feet tall. And most commentators believe Jesus was here because John 15, as we jump into the narrative of John, Jesus had just celebrated Passover with his disciples. He just instituted the Lord's Supper. This is my body. This is the cup. This is my blood. He already said that Judas is going to betray him. He gives them the command to love one another. He washes their feet, all in preparation for the cross that laid before him. So John 15, what we're reading right here, is smack in the middle of that. And so Jesus, on the steps, would have looked up in the center of the entrance of the temple. Now you can barely see it, but you might be able to make it out in the artist's rendering. You would see a beautiful gold vine that would descend 30, 40 feet from the ceiling. And on that golden vine would be precious jewels, symbolic of fruit that would come from the vine. Now, why was that piece of art in the center of the temple? Well, it's because throughout the scriptures, the prophets spoke and referred to Israel as God's vineyard. And the call upon his people was to worship him and to worship him alone and to seek to live a transformed life by being in the presence of God, symbolic by worship in the temple. And as a result, the fruit of their life would be nourishment for the world. That is a central image of life in Israel. Think stars and stripes for us. This would be the vine and the grapes, the fruit in first century Israel. Matter of fact, there were archaeologists has found coin during the Maccabean era, and on the back of it, like we would have the bald eagle, there would be a vine with grapes. So Jesus takes this accessible image that people have been raised upon. His disciples would have heard over and over again, and he is leaning from Isaiah, from Ezekiel, and he's saying to them, "You, my people of God, you have severed yourself from the vine. Instead of worshiping the true God, you have sought out other gods. You have bowed your knee down to the idols. You have sought nourishment from this world, but the result wasn't sweet fruit, but sour fruit." And so if you read the prophets, if you read Ezekiel and Isaiah, he is calling God's people to repent. And so Jesus, being the greatest prophet, is borrowing from this image, and what he's saying is a thought-provoking truth. And what is it? Jesus did not say, "I am a vine." Jesus said, "I am the true vine." This temple, this piece of art, all of it points to me. And if you want life, if you want to be connected with God, if you want to grow in who God has created you to be, the only way to be nourished is to be connected, is to abide in me. Jesus says, "I am the true vine." This picture taken together that Jesus paints out for us is that of a vineyard. And we true believers of the Lord Jesus Christ are the branches that are attached to this powerful vine. And the offshoot of our life should be fruit. And then Jesus says that the Father is, as it were, walking into the lanes of the vineyard. And he is seeking for every branch to bear forth fruit. But the question for us today, and it's the same that Jesus had with his disciples and the people that were listening to this sermon the first day that it was preached, is we all have fruit in our lives. The question is it good fruit or bad fruit? We all are producing something. The question is, what our life is producing, is it bitter and sour, therefore producing sour wine, or is it sweet fruit that when crushed produces the sweetest of wine? Jesus continues with that idea in Matthew 7, verses 21 and 23. And to be honest, this is probably the most scariest scripture for me being a pastor. Let me tell you why. Let's read it. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." This is why it's scary. On that day, when this world ends, many will say to me, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?" Jesus, we have tons of fruit to show. We've been busy. We've been doing religious things. We've been doing good things. But it is possible to do good things for all the wrong reasons. And that is why Jesus says to them, "On that day, I will declare to them," in verse 23, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." And so, in the final analysis, living your best life doesn't depend on you knowing Jesus. Listen to me. It doesn't depend on you knowing Jesus, knowing things about Jesus, applying some of the truths of Jesus' teaching into your life, at the end of the day, living the best life, and on that day, standing before him in judgment and saying, Lord, Lord, didn't I do all these things? At the end of the day, it's not if you know Jesus, but according to Jesus' statement here, does he know you? Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness, I have never known you. And that's sobering for a reason, because I can be so caught up doing the right things for self-centered reasons and not for God-glorifying reasons. And so Jesus is saying to us, it is impossible to bear fruit, but that which is bad fruit, because only good fruit can come by one thing, and one thing alone is by being connected with me. It comes by abiding in me. So the question for you this morning is, are you abiding in Jesus? Are you attached to the true vine? Is his Holy Spirit living in you, producing the fruits of the Holy Spirit? Now, what are these fruits? Well, Galatians 5, 22 and 23 tell us. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. If these fruits are in you, if your desire is to see these fruits lived out in your life, then you are abiding in Jesus. Now, hear me clearly. I'm not saying you're batting 100 in all these. One man after the first service came to me, and he very humbly, in a very loving way, he said, Tim, it was a good sermon, but I have to tell you, I don't do any of those things well. My wife says I'm angry all the time. There's no joy in my life. And I realize now there needs to be joy. Like, I should be seeing joy in my life. And that's something wrong in me. And you know what I told him? I said, thanks be to God that on that day, Jesus didn't say, hey, check this list off. Do you have all these things? Then you're in. No. Jesus says, are you with me? And am I with you? If you're depending upon me, if you have your eyes fixed upon me, then naturally, because of your connection with me, my Holy Spirit will be working these fruits of righteousness in and through you. Because producing fruit, bearing fruit, is the goal of the Christian life. But how do we produce these fruits? How can I want love, Tim, but how do I get love? I want gentleness. I don't want to act like that. My kids come to me and I'm just so stressed with work and I have a very short fuse and I just explode. That's me. I don't want that to be me. How can I get gentleness, Tim? And I'm here to tell you, you can't do it at all. The strength to produce these fruits in you does not lie in you. And that is Jesus' whole point in this teaching. He didn't say, you are the vine and I'm the branch. But many times that's how we pursue Christianity and look at our faith. We say, I'm going to live my life, I'm the vine, and I'm going to attach this Jesus thing to me. But you know what? I'm also going to attach this and this and this book and this pursuit and this voice and this narrative. I'm gonna listen to what my culture, what my world says who I am. And what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna mix it all together, and because I am the vine, I'm gonna figure out who's me. I am the vine, Jesus is the branch. But that is not what Jesus is teaching. He says, I am the true vine. And because of my love, grace, and mercy, I have welcomed you into my life. I know you by name. I called you by name. My Spirit lives in you. Though you struggle, though there's some seasons you bear bad fruit, I am at work in and through you to produce good fruit, the sweetest of fruit. But if that's who we are, what we are, we're the branch and Jesus the vine, the question is, Who are we? Who do we belong to? Whose are we? And Jesus says that we belong to the Father. And the Father is a wine dresser that walks in and through the vineyards of our lives, as it were. So picture the Father, and this is like a perfect picture of a beautiful vineyard, a vast vineyard, and God is working in each and every single person here, every man, every woman, every child. He is working in and through them in that stage of life to produce fruit, good fruit. But according to Jesus, what is the Father's method for producing good fruit in us? You heard it. You know it, but I guarantee you don't like it, because I don't either. What does a father do? What is his method? What is the method of any good gardener that wants to produce fruit in a vine? They need to prune it. It needs to be pruned. Tiona and I moved up here about 2.5 years ago. We bought a house, and we loved the house, but the yard work had a lot left to be desired because it was vacant for about 6 to 8 months, and they didn't have the sprinklers on, and so you could imagine what the outside of my house looked like. And I had a friend of mine over the house, and we were talking about the back porch of the area, and I said, I'm going to pull everything out and start right over again. And my friend Stacy said, no, you're wasting what you have. I said, but you see what I have. It's ugly. I don't want that. I want it to look lush. I want it to be beautiful. But most of all, I want it now. But Stacy said, no. You just need pruning, and you need patience. You need to water it. You need to fertilize it. But you need to prune it primarily, and you need patience. And so she told me to cut that thing way down. It was like almost 6 feet tall, 7 feet tall. And I had to cut it way back down to about 1 foot around here. And I said, no chance. That was July. Now come December 2019, 2020 coming, and I have a 7-foot beautiful tree with luscious flowers on it. Because I pruned it. And I was patient. And I nourished it. And that is what we need. It is painful to be pruned. What is that thing that God took from you in 2019 that you're still mad at him about? You don't say it, but you think, does God really love me? Because if he did, why? Why did he take that? Why did he take that from me? And in those moments, you need to be reminded of what Jesus is teaching here. That he prunes us to grow us. He takes away those things that would hinder our growth and development. He takes those very things. He knows what it is. He created us. He knows our shortcomings. He knows those things that are hinders us from growing and depending upon him. And so the most loving thing he can do is to take it away from you. So it's the bad habits. We love our bad habits, don't we? I mean, we kind of like good habits, but we really love our bad habits. If we didn't really love the bad habits, they wouldn't be there. And so maybe in 2020, the Lord is saying, I'm severing this bad habit from you, and it's going to be painful. It's going to feel like an affliction. This is not a cakewalk, but my goal is not your comfort. My goal is your sanctification and your glorification. My goal is to make you look like my son. Unblemished, perfect, washed, radiating with God's glory in our lives. God has a majestic view and vision for your life. Are you willing to embrace it in 2020? Or are you comfort? Are you have you find comfort in what you had in 2019? Jesus is provoking a response from you this morning. Pruning means to have our priorities reordered, to have our values changed. But most of all, you know what pruning does? It allows us to fully appreciate our utter dependence upon our God. And so God cuts away at us. It feels like him hacking away. Sometimes it feels like there's no plan. There's no rhyme or reason to it. Just like this happens, and then this happens, and then this happens. I don't get it. But at this moment, he's teaching you something. You're not going to know that God is all that you need until he is all that you have. And so God puts his heavy hand of affliction upon us. But just know this. If you really needed that, like really needed that, God would not have taken it away. But if God took it away, then the only conclusion as sons and daughters of the living God, who people who walk by faith, not by sight, we say, if I don't have it, if it was taken away, the only conclusion is I don't need it. And that is the precise point where God is starting to bud out new fruit, a more beautiful flower in and through us. And so, Christians, we know that part of the hard road of following Jesus means embracing this affliction when the Father comes and takes things that we love, things that we think we need, and he just takes it from us. But that is the road of our Savior. Because just a few hours later, Jesus would be betrayed. And just a few hours later after that, he would be imprisoned and put on a false trial, an unjust verdict, death for the Son of God, the man who never sinned, who only bore good fruit, he would be pruned. And Jesus on the cross looks up to heaven, and the Father turned his face away. Jesus is willing to be pruned so that we can flourish and abide in him. You see, the Bible says that all of us struggle with sin or even enslaved to it. It's something that we inherit. It's something that just being part of the human race is part of our frail, broken condition, but it's also a choice. I make decisions every day to walk in obedience or disobedience. And so that sin that resides in my heart separates me from God, prevents me from abiding in him. And Jesus, if you keep reading the passage, he speaks about what happens when we're severed from God. It invites not life, but death. And so we spiritually die if we remain in our sin. We're born spiritually dead. If that sin is not dealt with, we will eventually physically die. So it leads to physical death. But if left unaccounted for, will bring forth eternal death once we die. And the Bible says, Jesus says, there's no amount of fruit that you can produce in and of yourself in order to make you worthy of God's love. Our good works doesn't work. And that's why Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, he wasn't saying you can't do anything. But his point in a hyperbolic way is saying you can't do anything that matters. Anything that has eternal worth. An eternal value. Lord to Lord, didn't we do this? Didn't we do this? Didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we proclaim the kingdom? And Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you. You can do things, but the end result, they're sour, bitter, bad fruit. But because of Jesus' love for you, he went to the cross. And after living a perfect life, he gave his life as a ransom, as a sacrifice for you. And the vine dresser, the Father, was pleased to place our sin upon Jesus and punish him instead of us. And Jesus, after being pruned down to the ground, was resurrected to new life on the third day. And that beautiful gospel truth is the hope we need to hold on to in 2020. It's found in abiding in him. His Spirit taking up residence in our lives. That's what it means to abide. It means to settle in, to find a home in. Jesus is saying, I need to find a home in your heart. And when I do, my spirit will start to nourish you. And you'll be born to new life. The only thing you need to do is abide. So what's most important? It's abiding in Jesus. What's most important for us in 2020? It's to seek by the work of the Holy Spirit in us to bear much fruit. What does that look like for us? It means me using my gifts to both witness and serve. That is the life that Jesus is inviting you to. And so maybe for the first day, you feel the call to make a decision to follow Jesus. I want to invite you to receive Jesus both as your Savior and Lord. And I want to say a prayer. And if that is you, all you need to do is trust in Jesus, to abide in him, to have his life find a home in your heart. I'm going to pray, and I want to close out this service with a prayer, inviting you for the first time to join me in prayer. If that's you, pray silently as I pray aloud. Lord, I welcome you into my life, knowing that in you I find life, and being cut off from you has only led me to death. And so I pray, Lord, that by your grace and love and mercy, you would graft me into the beautiful vine, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I submit my life to you, repenting of my sin, asking you, even inviting you to prune me, to cut out those things in my life that are detrimental to my spiritual growth and my health and well-being, Lord, and I submit it to you, praying in faith that you welcome me into your family, that you have forgiven me of my sin, and that you have made me now, through the adoption of your love, a son and daughter of the living God. Amen.